Alameda County Board of Supervisors Personal Administration Legislation Committee, Monday, November 26, 2018.
This is Amy from Supervisor Carson's office. We'll start a staff briefing and Supervisor Carson will join us in a bit. So start with our federal legislative update.
Hi, good afternoon. You have Patrick and Chris on the line today. The House and Senate are back in session this week following the Thanksgiving break. The House will focus on several non-controversial bills considered under suspension, while the Senate will focus on nominations. The House Democrats will hold their leadership elections this Wednesday, and additionally, Congress will have to address several outstanding issues to include the 7 remaining FY19 appropriations bills under continuing resolution through December 7th, as well as other deadlines for the National Flood Insurance Program, the Farm Bill reauthorization, and the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. As a quick update on the 2018 elections, as of right now, Republicans will control the Senate 52-47. The only outstanding Senate race is Mississippi's, as they will hold their runoff election tomorrow between Democrat Mike Espy and Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith. In the House, the Democrats have expanded their lead to 234 Democrats to 200 Republican seats. Right now, Congressman David Valadao's race in California's 21st district is still a toss-up and left to be decided as more votes continue to be counted. In terms of the House leadership elections, they'll hold their elections this Wednesday, November 28th. And despite some initial opposition from moderate and younger members of the caucus, it's looking more likely that Leader Pelosi will become the next speaker. After the stunning Thanksgiving recess, negotiating with some of those younger, more moderate members who opposed her speakership, more and more members have come out in support after receiving some assurances with regard to new committee assignments or certain involvement in specific issues that they're interested in. For example, as we said, I think last week on the call, Congresswoman Marsha Fudge was considering her own candidacy for Speaker, but she ultimately dropped out of that race after Leader Pelosi assured her and said Congresswoman Fudge would be the next chairman of the House Administration Subcommittee on Elections, which has a lot to do with the Voting Rights Act. And another critic of Leader Pelosi's was Congressman Higgins of New York, but he said he agreed in principle with Leader Pelosi that he would be a lead person in the health care debate to advance legislation that would enable people to purchase Medicare who have reached the age of 50. But on the opposite side, as a last-ditch attempt to shake up the Democratic caucus leadership, Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts said he and other members that have been opposing Leader Pelosi would be willing to negotiate with her on some changes in the Democratic leadership to include potentially replacing Congressman Steny Hoyer, who's currently the minority whip, or Assistant Minority Leader Jim Clyburn of South Carolina. Leader Pelosi has said she hasn't made any decisions whether or not that will come to fruition, but we'll keep an eye on that as Wednesday comes near. So that's kind of where the House leadership elections stand. We expect Leader Pelosi to be the next speaker, and right now, since there isn't any opposition to Steny Hoyer or Jim Clyburn, we expect them to be majority whip and majority leader in the next Congress. In terms of lame duck, not much to update on that, but there are still the 7 appropriations bills that are currently under a continuing resolution that will expire December 7th. House and Senate leadership have yet to detail a plan on how to go about moving the appropriations bills. But right now, 4 of those bills, as we said in the past, the Transportation HUD, Agriculture, Financial Services, and Interior and Environment, bills have been packaged into a minibus. Congress will either move that minibus and another minibus, which consists of State Foreign Operations, Commerce, Justice, Science, and Homeland Security, into one package and move all seven of those bills together, or they would pass a continuing resolution that would extend into the next Congress. If appropriators are able to hammer out a lot of the details and disagreements within these seven appropriations bills, they'll likely move all of the bills together. But we do believe there could possibly be a partial shutdown over the funding for President Trump's border wall. We'll kind of start to see that as the week goes on and we get closer to the December 7th deadline. Another option could also be a short-term continuing resolution for 10 or so days to allow Congress to work out those disagreements over the border wall and the other various policy issues that they've had with these seven bills. But we'll continue to monitor those and keep you posted on that. And then one more quick update on the farm bill. I know last week we said that a deal was imminent. That wasn't the case last week, but they continue to negotiate on a final deal. And as we said in the past, we do expect the final bill to not include the House Republican proposal to increase work requirements for SNAP. So we'll keep you posted on that as well. Chris is here, and he'll give a quick update on immigration.
To briefly, it's sort of business as usual that the White House has proposed some immigration restrictions, and they've been getting pushback in federal court. In particular, they have judges ruling in the past week against the administration on the proclamation and accompanying proposed rule or interim final rule to limit the ability of asylum seekers to file their claims if they had entered the United States illegally rather than proceeding through a designated port of entry. And then there's also ongoing litigation on the citizenship question on the census form for the 2020 census, with courts ruling that the challenges to including that could proceed. And then there should be upcoming argument at the Supreme Court on the issue of Commerce Secretary Ross's deposition. At the southern border, the group of asylum seekers, or you know, the quote-unquote caravan, has begun to arrive. They've been directed toward the San Ysidro crossing outside San Diego near Tijuana. They have so far been kept on the Mexican side of the border. There are reports of an agreement between the White House and the Mexican government, possibly with the incoming new Mexican president, AMLO, on that issue, that they would stay there while their asylum claims were being processed and adjudicated, which is a reversal from normal practice where they, you know, typically if they present at the border, present yourself for inspection at a border crossing, and then you'd be allowed to remain in the United States during that adjudication, which could take 2 to 3 months. So that's sort of the update on that. There were threats of shutting down the border. You saw that troops had been sent there a couple weeks ago, their efforts to harden some of the crossings. But so far, that's just sort of awaiting adjudication on the individual asylum claims there.
And that's our report.
Okay, thank you.
Patrick, this is Teresa. Can you talk about what a partial shutdown looks like?
So basically, it means to the extent that there are some of the departments that have been fully funded through FY19, so those would remain open. So that's Labor, Health and Human Services, Department of Education, the Defense Department, you know, they're all fully funded, so they would see no interruption. You know, those programs would keep going. It's the ones in the set covered by the seven bills that Patrick mentioned that their funding would be interrupted. So from their perspective, it would look like a normal shutdown. So essential personnel still reporting. So things like Homeland Security is included, but obviously like TSA would continue to operate, or the Coast Guard or something like that. But some of the office functions, it would look like a full shutdown for those partial departments.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? State legislative update.
Good afternoon, everyone. Gianna with Brownstein. Just want to give you a quick update on the general election. Since we last spoke, you know, final vote counts are being made. Democrats have tentatively gained 3 new seats in previously 2 close-to-call races that we mentioned last week. Specifically, Sunday Grover is likely to unseat Assemblymember Brian Mainshine, and Cottie Petrie-Norris unseating Assemblymember Matthew Harper. On the Senate side, we fully expect Tom Umberg, Democrat, to unseat Senator Janet Nguyen. So these bring the Senate Democrat count to 29 and the Assembly Democratic count to 60, potentially 61, with the addition of Grover. So, you know, and vote counts are still coming in, but this is what we see as of this morning. You know, and as a reminder, December 3rd, we will have the swearing-in of new legislators, and then we will for sure know what the makeup looks like. Also, with this overwhelmingly Democratic legislature, we're bound to see committee changes. We might even see some committees being split into 2, you know, and chairmanship changes as well. So we'll keep you posted as we see those. I mentioned last week that Assembly Republican Leader Brian Mange, or I'm sorry, Dolly, is running for Ted Gaines' Senate seat, and with that, Assemblymember Waldron has officially taken over as Assembly Republican Leader. So, you know, there's news on that. Let's see. So now that, you know, the general election has more or less come to a close, you know, we've shifted to what the priorities are going to be in California. We wanted to point out that Gavin Newsom has announced 2 senior staff appointments, one being Anne O'Leary. She was a former advisor for Hillary Clinton in the Senate, and this kind of speaks to Gavin Newsom's trajectory, you know, his career trajectory. He sees himself, you know, moving onward and upward after his, you know, term in California, so that kind of speaks to that. So Ms. O'Leary will certainly have to adapt to the politics here in California and the way that things are done here coming from D.C. On the other hand, Anna Matos-Santos, it's a mouthful, has been appointed as his cabinet secretary. And so what's interesting about her appointment is that she was a former Department of Finance director under the Schwarzenegger administration and also under the Brown administration. And so she knows deeply how the budget works. And as you know, currently staff are putting together just a basic budget for that would really work for any governor. They're putting together a basic budget. She will really be instrumental in kind of whatever Newsom's priorities are going to be. How can we work that into the budget? How can we move things around? And so she's going to be really key in that transition. Just a couple updates on Newsom also. I don't know if you are all aware, but he's launched a new website. It's kind of a new initiative called All in California. He's seeking, you know, people to apply for jobs, and he's also seeking policy recommendations. So it's kind of an interesting take on new administration and governorship. And let's see. So that's an update on the general election. Just a quick update on the